Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. This particular episode is Subjective Wars. We make ourselves pick between two things that we like. What are the metrics by which we choose? We don't know. We make it up as we go, and we have fun, sometimes torturous fun, doing it. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and I'm going to come back to me in a second. I'm going to go after you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm Jennifer Landa. I'm ready for this brawl.
Yeah. I am very excited about this. So the idea with Subjective Wars, we want to talk about Star Wars. We want to talk about just some fun life stuff. But we also want to talk about some other pop culture stuff. And I was like, what's something like that people probably have a lot of strong opinions about to really drive some fun, friendly conversation? And what is something that would just torture our friend Ken? And it is a choice between Lord of the Rings versus Game of Thrones. Ken is a person who purports to not really like fantasy, and yet he loves these two prime examples of fantasy with all of his heart. We're going to be talking about the screened adaptations, the famous Lord of the Rings films and the Game of Thrones television show. We're not really talking about the literary versions. We're talking about the on-the-screen versions. Ken, how you feeling?
I'm feeling confused. Angry. I got to find the right place to put the anger. When you pitched Subjective Wars, it was, like I said, a concept that's not unfamiliar to the pop culture punditry world, but we're going to put our Force Center spin on it and have fun. And you're like, it's fun. X-Wing versus Y, TIE Fighter, I got that. Sit or stand at a concert, and you're like, I think we need to ramp it up, which I agree. Let's ramp it up. Let's raise the stakes of the show. And you're like, how about this? I'm like, well, that's a no-brainer as an idea. That's a big win as an idea, but I don't know which. I've got my Targaryen beanie. I've got my Not Today shirt on. I've got awesome. Daenerys. I got Daenerys in the back here, but that doesn't mean that's the actual answer. I don't know what to do.
And where's the button that calls your maester to pick you up and take you home? You are so Game of Thrones kitted out. Yeah. I rarely see you like that kitted. I mean, some Star Wars stuff sometimes, but like beanie and hat. Do you have socks?
I do have socks.
Mormont undies on.
I do have socks I can wear. I was in a wedding where it was Game of Thrones theme, so I have some stuff from that. But I don't have as much Lord of the Rings, right? And I have a Gandalf. I should have brought the Gandalf figure I have sitting up there staring at me. But that's part of why I love Lord of the Rings. Is it hits me different. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, no, let's get into it. I have some White Walker whiskey that's a few years old that I should have broken out. But we're going to give Ken a little bit of time to collect himself. Jennifer, where do you start? When we talked about this topic, were you like, well, of course, it's this one?
I have no dog in this fight. I really don't. I could go either way. I know that the fandoms are very strong on both sides. And really, I'm like the Libra scales. I both are great. I don't know. But I could be swayed. So we'll find out.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I've had moments of like a bigger fandom for them. But they've never been like one of my super core fandoms. I've always deferred to friends who have more underwear and action figures who are deeper in the lore. It means more to them. It isn't for me out of any lack of love for them. I think they're great. It's more out of like time to be as invested in everything that I want to be invested in. I was so focused on, ooh, this will be fun to see what Ken thinks that I forgot to think about what I think. I think this is weird for me, but I think I'm leaning a little bit toward Lord of the Rings. And I think it's because I really do adore Game of Thrones. I've got some quibbles with how this show ended, but I don't dislike it as passionately as other people do. I don't think it's like just this utter god-awful train wreck. I think what hit me this morning when I was like, oh, I gotta maybe have a thought is, Lord of the Rings doesn't hold its punches. The story is difficult. It's scary. There are consequences, bittersweet. But the ideas in it are so like, that's a place I could go to have some of my beliefs reaffirmed. And Game of Thrones is so like, I think it's probably because like, I'm real upset about social media. I'm real concerned about politics and that, like in Game of Thrones, just feels like, yeah, it all sucks, doesn't it? Like the ending definitely has some hope, but George R. R. Martin, your goal to have a fantasy world that's really real, very well done, very well done. So I think in some ways, like I almost want to sit down and rewatch Game of Thrones more, but just the world view is like, I'm good on that. I got that. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm starting.
That's accurate.
Yeah, it's 100% accurate. 100% accurate.
So where do you start, Ken?
I do start with Game of Thrones. I do start with Game of Thrones. It pulled me in a way that it rivals Star Wars, but it was different than Star Wars, especially at the time it came into my life. I was show first and then immediately books second. I had a kind of awareness of the books, but really didn't. And it was the show that pulled me in. So I want to spend a lot of time in that world, love discussing it. It is very real. The ending you're talking about, one of the hard things to I think swallow is the show's statement on how the world, this world, but our world treats women and Daenerys mm-hmm. being an example of that. It ties into some of her themes, I think, that emerge in season three. But this is where the problem starts. Why I might be able to put, crazy as it seems, especially to longtime listeners of like Castle Talk or just me, because you're right, I have this almost weird, stubborn, I don't really enjoy fantasy. I'm not seeing Dune 2. Do not tell me. I love that you love it. Not for me. When the first HBO trailers came on and it was basically like Lord of the Rings, but weekly, I'm in. So my love for that starts with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And it's hard to separate that.
It exists as a response to Lord of the Rings. Obviously, it takes on its own, its life of its own, right? But isn't that the kind of the famous story of George R. R. Martin saying, like, what if Lord of the Rings was a little less fantasy and a little more real world of the politics and the greed and everything being so very real?
Clearly, he's a fan of Tolkien, but I think I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but yes, it's like J.R.R. Tolkien never wrote about Aragorn's tax policies, and I wanted to go into that. Like, that was my world. So, yeah, they're forever interconnected, though.
What a pitch. You
know, right?
Yeah, that's so great. Since we're focusing on Game of Thrones to begin, Jennifer, what is your relationship with Game of Thrones? Is it a like? Is it a love? Is it a love and repulsed by at the same time? Where do you go?
Oh, mm-hmm. I love Game of Thrones. I mean, I don't really have very much merch, but I
can loan you some.
I love it, loved it. It was must-see TV for my husband and I. We just the opening theme song, we would listen to that. It was just like we were settling in, never knew what to expect. And for me, it was a great bridge between like fantasy and like escándalo, you know, like this this kind of telenovela type world, and it bridged the two, which it made me feel more like I could relate to it in some way. Obviously, mm-hmm. I haven't had that kind of drama, but it just felt a little bit more current. Whereas Lord of the Rings, for me personally, I always kind of felt like I was on the outside looking in. I had friends who were obsessed with it, but it didn't feel like I was welcome. it was challenging for me to read. I wanted to love it, but I just didn't feel like the gates were up and I never really learned how to get in.
That's very interesting. You know, like obviously the Lord of the Rings movies were a big communal event and you had plenty of, you know, people talking about, but in the books and all that, which you can obviously get with Game of Thrones. But Game of Thrones is also just such a part. It came out at, you know, peak TV, mm-hmm. Prestige television, the trumpets of victory of the nerd genre community riding high. There's something about it that felt very sort of welcoming of let's all watch our story. And I think for me, that's one of the big pulls of Game of Thrones as a television show is I was talking to a friend about the novels which I haven't read, but I think the television show did a good job bringing this to the fold is George R. R. Martin is a master at just plot. Like, mm-hmm. obviously there's theme, right. Obviously there's character, obviously there's world building, but mm-hmm. there is just the literal mechanics of what is going to happen next. We're so successful at keeping you on the edge of your seat mm-hmm. that I remember those early seasons of Game of Thrones, I had a lot of stress from life stuff and from working on theater stuff and that. And Game of Thrones was like the 1 hour a week where it's like, I don't think about my own life at all. Because mm-hmm. I'm so mm-hmm. leaning forward by what is going to happen next, who is going to do what to who, who's mm-hmm. going to live, who's going to die, mm-hmm. is anyone going to respect Tyrion, mm-hmm. and just moved by the power of the plot. Mm-hmm. Ken, how do you feel about how much the power of the plot is the strength of Game of Thrones?
I think it's very much the strength, and you're right. And I'm not here to be snarky about a creator I love, but like George needs an editor, and George has written himself into many corners that I fear he'll never get out of. and I think that speaks to the victory of this adaptation. Yes, you're always going to have the book and blah blah blah. I don't know why people. Let me think about it. I understand why people connect, but I even with Lord of the Rings, separate them. They're two entirely different things, and they should be different. We go often to Douglas Adams saying, every time I retell Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it needs to be a different version. The most controversial elements of the 2005 film, a lot of people in the fandom were like, no, he had put into it. It's the Trillian and Arthur love story. That was his idea because he was like, it should be different. So I don't know why but I get it. It comes from a point of passion, but it is the plot because even Benioff and Weiss, and I'm more of a Weiss fan than a Benioff fan, they say there's no themes in our shows. We don't do themes is their almost kind of pretentious quote. They're wrong because they're all the way through the show. Themes just kind of exist whether you want them to not, I believe. Yes. But it is plot driven. And that's what the machinations, the pulling in. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Versus I think there's more of a spirit driving Lord of the Rings forward.
Yeah. Mm. And I think in those early seasons, they painted the plot with a very fine brush. And that is my disagreement with those later seasons, not actually what happens. They were painting faster with a broader brush, and it felt different, and we didn't have as much of those plot details is my take on that. So we spent a little bit of time talking about the love of Game of Thrones. Jennifer, what's your relationship with Lord of the Rings? What draws you to Lord of the Rings?
I liked it, the movie, the movies. Normally I would have prepared, I would have watched them. I didn't have time. My husband often quotes them, and I'm like, I don't know. It happened, I think. I believe you. But what I do like about Lord of the Rings is the world that was created. It's a world, a real fantasy world of like moss-covered, cottages or like, you know, mystical, magical things. And I'm really drawn to that. I like that aspect of it. And like you were saying, it feels more hopeful. It feels more, in some ways, I don't want to say happy, but more optimistic, more innocence. Yeah. Whereas Game of Thrones, I would never want to live there. I don't. That is like your thing. It's too real. It's a little, and even to the extreme, right? It's like worst case scenario. So, but I do like the world of Lord of the Rings. I just don't know it as well.
Yeah, when we get down to metrics of decision, if it's which world you want to live in, Lord of the Rings for me is going to take it miles and miles, by 111 miles. So you can't eat a chicken without being threatened with death in Game of Thrones. Like everything is a problem. I think what compels me about Lord of the Rings is it's hard to ignore that it just is ground zero for what we understand as fantasy now, taking all of these myths and ideas and characters and combining them into this thing that feels both totally unique and also much like Star Wars, kind of like there's such fundamental ideas in it. And I think a lot of them overlap with Star Wars. In terms of the screened version, Gollum is just such a triumph. The performance, the mix of sadness and comedy and in year 2001 it can be identified 2002 by everybody saying my precious about everything.
Yes.
The cultural power. rewatched the movies a year and a half ago with my wife, and I just really loved it. I don't feel like it's entirely beats you over the head, but it's this idea that's powerful in Star Wars as well. But just time after time, people are offered the possibility to work together. And then when they work together, there is hope. A little bit of hope in a very dark time, but if they work together, there's a little bit of hope. And individuals who become consumed by fear or greed stop that connection, and everything goes to bleep. And it the way it just rolls that out, I think, is both like kind of gnashing its teeth about the nature of humanity, but also presenting so much hope about the nature of humanity. And I think in Lord of the Rings, you know, kind of wears its heart on its sleeve, leading with this clear idea of even the person who's looked at by the rest of the world as the least of us can be the most important.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact: you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. with Frodo and Samwise, it's really powerful. It's
Ken,
yeah, what for you is the strong pull of Lord of the Rings?
It is it's interesting. I know I think we're looking at the first three Jackson films and maybe including the Hobbit films is not what we do, but I actually include them in a way because it's definitely the same universe, but those films have I wasn't a huge fan of them at the time, but I've re-engaged with them in a different way. There's a lot of thoughts and theories and stuff about what went wrong, and there's some actual truths about what was different and what was wrong and reasons behind it. There's some fascinating takes on it there. I think those movies actually have great value, more than I saw back then. But going back to even just the original films, the first three, it was the earnest, sincere approach to fantasy that at the time had not happened as much. There was other examples of it along the way. But it played it for real. It played it for keeps. And that pulled me in. And dare I, not that this was a precursor to I need things dark and gritty, but it was so real to me versus some of the other things. And it just pulled me in. But I always said the reason I don't have a lot of merch, I don't know a lot of the quotes. I don't know a lot of the characters. I can't compete in Lord of the Rings movie trivia. I can't. Mm-hmm. I take these films in every year, and it is a breath of fresh air. It is a spiritual renewal. And for some of the problems you might even find with those films or the lack of Tom Bombadil, I don't care about any of that. I care about how they make me feel more than almost any other property. Not above Star Wars, but Star Wars is its own thing. But Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. is this medicine for the soul I need, and I need it every year.
Mm, no, that's incredibly powerful. Yeah, even with the lack of Tom Bombadil. I power read Fellowship of the Ring before I went to the midnight screening of Fellowship of the Ring, and I absolutely obsessed with old Tom Bombadil. I've done comedy sketches about Tom Bombadil. Oh, love. Jennifer, do you have such a love in Star Wars of sort of the weirder, wilder side of like characters and creatures? Are you affected by the fact that Lord of the Rings has a little bit more of that sense of whimsy, and almost all the fantasy elements of Lord of the Rings are pretty horrific? They're I guess the direwolves are they're sort of a fantasy element, but you know, it's no White Walkers, and you know,
that's a good point.
Dragons are are basically treated as nuclear weapons that you can train. You know, in Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones has some of the fantasy is also harder edged, where Lord of the Rings offers a little bit more whimsy. Are you affected by that?
Yeah, because I agree, but at the same time, I feel like with Game of Thrones, it felt more, I felt more connected to it, because the direwolves, it become like a dog, right? It feels like my pet, my doggy Mala. So I can understand that connection. The obviously not the White Walkers. I don't have any connection with the White Walkers, except they're just terrifying, right? But there's a lot of those, or even like the dragons. And again, like feeling that connection with an animal, it just feels very human. And so, and like of our world, whereas Lord of the Rings, it just felt very fantastical. It's like, wow, what a world. This is so beyond anything I could ever imagine. So it, and it just feels so far removed from where we are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it's harder for me to, I think, connect with it in that way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken, your relationship with fantasy, I think, is wanting, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, wanting to feel like the characters are real, the stakes are real, it's personal, it's not just kind of weird fantasy stuff. You want very grounded fantasy, and Lord of the Rings is incredibly well grounded, and in Game of Thrones is grounded. How do you feel about the fantasy elements in both of them? Because they're grounded, are you able to enjoy Gollum and the dragons and all that?
Yeah, no, I love it. It just seems like it's unquestionably part of the world, and you know, an old man with a magic staff and all that stuff. Just I've never questioned it, never had a problem with it. Game of Thrones, one of the strengths, and it's also an interesting challenge for some fans. I've worked with some folks. I hosted the Game of Thrones show on Screen Junkies years ago. Some of the panelists actually had this off and on air issue. They're like, I hate the magic bleep. I hate the magic bleep. I just want the politics, because the story of Game of Thrones is magic returning to the land slowly, right? It begins with something that hadn't happened for thousands of years, and no one believes it because it's all myth, fairy tale, and none of that magic's real. We don't have that here. And along the way, as the dragons return, everything returns, you know, even Piat Pri in season two, the House of the Undying and all that stuff with around Daenerys is like, oh, we got powers now because magic is back. And so I think as it slowly moves forward, I've had people drop off. They're like, oh, now there's dragons that are I just want politics, which is an interesting take on it too.
Yeah, I think that that might affect my ultimate decision. We could talk about this for hours. We are on a little bit of a time crunch as we are recording, and we also want to keep these episodes a bite size and fun. So let's head toward our final decision by figuring out what metrics we're possibly going to use. Jennifer, what metric are you leaning toward using for making this decision?
I don't have a metric, but I do think I have my answer. Just working
Jennifer
out
doesn't
in my
need
mind.
No metrics.
I don't She's need there. Any metrics. Metric. I'm already there.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why. The first thing, now this is like a metric, but I think accessibility is really, really important thing to think about. How do people find these things? How do they come to it? Mm-hmm. And so, like I said before, like Lord of the Rings, I felt like there was already a huge fan base. People, like, they knew so much, and I just felt like, how do I dive into these deep waters, right? I can't hold a toe with these people who can know everything. Whereas Game of Thrones, it felt like, yes, I had, you know, I'd read one of the books, but it still felt all new to me. And I felt like it was a little bit more open to people in that sense. And so it's like a mixed drink, right? Mm. Whereas Lord of the Rings is like the straight shot. And in Game of Thrones is more like the cocktail.
What do you mean you have no metrics? This is the metric I'm going to use now for every decision. What cocktail is it like?
That's beautiful.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
So you're saying just in terms of like absorbing sheer nerdery knowledge.
Like, yeah, like
Lord of the Rings
say.
Is like just putting back hard whiskey. Rotgut whiskey.
Got it.
And yeah. And there's so many, like, the names are, I mean, obviously Targaryen, like, there's weird names in Game of Thrones, but I can, like, I don't know. I connected with a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But what Ken was saying earlier, and I can't think right now because I haven't slept much, but what Ken was saying earlier about, like, how they weaved in the magic stuff, they didn't dump it all at once. It was like a slow kind of like reveal that it just felt like more like, oh, even though I'm not like hardcore fantasy nerd, I can get into this.
Like the limoncello of fantasy. Yes.
That's right.
A lemontini of fantasy. So you're going with ultimately
with Game of Thrones, even though Lord of the Rings, gold standard, the source. Yeah.
I think, I think my metric is going to be my love of pulp and genre and my ongoing gnashing of teeth of, you know, what does it take to get people to accept fantasy? There's so many people who want to say, like, it's fantasy, and that is, of course, it's got genre things, it's got dragons, and that's of course, childish. Mm-hmm. But here's how it's elevated by these two things. And to me, it's like, no, it's they're part of the point. The genre stuff is a part of the point, and all genre stories can be grounded. And you can have you can have a story about an apple, and it can be the most moving thing ever if you believe the apple's feelings and concerns in life. So I think I'm going to ultimately make my decision based on genre. I am moved by Game of Thrones having this wonderful story that is basically kind of a story about how people talk about fantasy of like, it's not real. It's not real. And like, that's one of the things that hooked me is like, man, this feels like fights I've had with people about TV shows I like. Like, you're going to find out that fantasy is real when it walks on your face. Everybody in King's Landing, it's marching toward you. You're not going to be able to get away with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when I pull back and go, what moment could of just pure pulp joy, genre joy, could I not live without? I could not live without seeing the Ents rise up and just kick people across the screen. So I'm giving it to Lord of the Rings just for the Ents.
That's one of my favorite chill inducing moments is it's the last March of the Ents and Treebeard coming out of the fort. Oh my God. That's one of the best moments ever.
Both of these series are about climate change. Like you done mess with nature and the White Walkers are coming and the Ents are coming. Anyway, so we got one for Game of Thrones, one for Lord of the Rings, and Ken, we had to do it to you. We had to make you decide.
It's truly up in the air. And that now we would be remiss if we didn't shout out one of our Four Center friends, a longtime listener who worked on the Lord of the Rings films, worked on the Hobbit films over there at Weta for years, Daniel Falconer, who the first time he reached out to me, I was like, that ain't your name, sport. That ain't your name, Daniel Falconer. And you live in New Zealand and you work on these films. Stop that. Not only is he real, he is a wonderful human being. I've hung out with him a few times in LA and San Diego and love great stories on these films. So I want to acknowledge that. Tip the cap to Daniel and the team and everyone who made these beautiful movies that are world-changing. We only have Game of Thrones on TV because of Lord of the Rings. At the end of the day, I do hold through to Game of Thrones because when I need that shot of adrenaline, the shot of hope, I do go to Lord of the Rings. But the show Game of Thrones, all the things, the ups and downs, forget all the debate around the show. What's in the show has been one of the things that's changed me. How I've engaged with the show has changed over the years. And now I go back and look at it differently. And moments that I used to have on t-shirts, power is power. Now I'm like, this is part of the downfall of Cersei, not something to be held up. Tywin Lannister to me is the character who is most right by the rules of the world. And I used to wear that as a C because he's kind of cool. Now I'm like, and that's why he's a villain, right? Like, and I pulled more.
That's why he dies on a toilet. Yeah.
Dies on a toilet because the one thing he couldn't control was his family that he refused to love. You know, it's like all these, I'm a big Stannis Baratheon fan for a lot of reasons. But I always tell, and then people always go, but he burned his daughter. Yes, the lesson is holding on too hard to something and losing yourself as you become obsessed with, and how that affected me. I could go on and on and on, and I have on the show as well, but I go back to that show, not just for the show, the plot, the characters. I go back to learn from it. And that's why at the end of the day, God, Daniel, I'm so sorry. I'm going Game of Thrones.
There you have it. Game of Thrones wins. I think we've tapped into a rich vein. Come back for the Starks versus the Lannisters. First breakfast versus second breakfast. We'll do lots of battles.
Oh my gosh.
In this fantasy world. We'll have lots of fun doing them. We need to wrap up so you all know where you can find us. Thank you for joining us on this extremely difficult episode of Subjective Wars.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.